Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16? It's a blessing to be with you, and I've heard that you've got a new place to meet soon, and I'll certainly be remembering you that the Lord will continue to bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'd like to read the 22nd verse. If any man, doesn't matter whether he's white or black, rich or poor, religious or irreligious, educated or uneducated, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha, cursed when the Lord returns. That's what that means. Now, there is no stronger language in the Word of God than right here. Paul says regarding that one who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned upon the return of the Lord. Let him be cursed by God. Let him spend eternity in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Let him be eternally tormented in the flames of hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. May the smoke of his torments rise forever and ever. May he spend eternity suffering the wrath and righteous indignation of a holy and offended God. Is Paul saying anything less? I've entitled this message, The Most Unconscionable Sin. The Most Unconscionable Sin. Unconscionable means out of all reason. There is a reason for men committing sins. They feel like they get some benefit out of it. A liar lies to get himself out of trouble. A thief steals in order to get something. You understand men's reason for these sins. I suppose you could say that there is pleasure. Well, I don't suppose you could say. The Scripture says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And men have a reason for sinning in that sense. But the only thing that could create this sin, not loving the Lord Jesus Christ, is nothing less than monstrous, malicious wickedness. It is the same wickedness that the Lord spoke of in John chapter 15, verse 25, when he said, they hated me without a cause. Now remember who's speaking when he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. This was a very special man by the grace of God. This is Paul the Apostle. He's the same one who said under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And he said, I'm not telling a lie. I'm telling you the truth. This is what's in my heart. Now, this man loved men. He wasn't one of these crazy ranting preachers trying to scare people to death with hellfire and brimstone. He was someone who loved the souls of men so much that he would say, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I don't know what to say about that. That's such a remarkable passage of Scripture. And it's him who says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Now remember, to not love him is to hate him. Now let me repeat that. To not love the Lord Jesus Christ is to hate him. And this is the sin of all sins. This is the most unconscionable, unreasonable, purely wicked, malicious sin. Now you think of all the sins that you've committed that you're ashamed of. And that you would, oh, you're ashamed. This one is infinitely worse. To not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Paul overstating the case when he said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, accursed by God upon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now what I want to attempt to do is speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed in this book we call the Holy Bible. And then we will see that to not love him is the most unconscionable, unreasonable, the most malicious of all sins. And surely everyone who does not love him ought to be cursed eternally by God himself upon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look. Obviously, I need some help preaching this. And you need some help hearing. May God bless this to our hearts. Let's think of his name. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. That refers to his reign. His dictatorship. He is the Lord. This speaks of his power and his sovereignty. He reigns. I'm not saying that he has the right to reign, although he does. I'm not saying that he ought to reign, though he should. But he does reign. He is the Lord. And he is in absolute control of everybody in this room and everybody outside of this room. He is the Lord. He said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. We read in Daniel 4:35 that he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what doest thou? He is in complete control of everything and everybody. He is the Lord. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Our eternal destiny is not in our hands. It's in his. We have no control. None. Zero. Nada. And not love him? Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus. This one who is Lord. This one who reigns is also the Savior. Did you need saved? Well, I need somebody to save me. This one who reigns is also the Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus, and not love him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed. Anointed. Now, in the Old Testament, there were three persons who were anointed. God's prophet was anointed. God's priest was anointed. And God's king was anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's anointed prophet. What's a prophet? He brings a word from God. Christ is the Word of God. What a prophet he is. A priest. A priest is one who represents men to God. And what a priest he is. He says, Father, forgive them. And you know what the Father does? He forgives them. Every single person he prays for. What a priest he is. He is the anointed king. That means he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. He is King Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And not love him? I think of what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. To not love him is unconscionable. You have to hate him without a cause to not love him. And isn't it sad? I can say this to every believer here. Every believer here. Isn't it sad to think that you've been guilty of not loving the Lord Jesus Christ? What about the person behind the name? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. You know, I like saying this. This is my favorite thing to say. Jesus is God. Isn't that a wonderful statement? That's who he is. He's God. He's man. The God-man. Utterly unique. None can be compared with him. No one's like him. He's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he's described in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Yes, he was born. Some 2,000 years ago, but unto us a son is given. He's the eternal son. He wasn't born. He's always been. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. He is God, so much so that he said, he that hath seen me. He didn't say it's as if he saw the Father, did he? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The scripture says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Do you believe God is absolutely sovereign? He says, I am too. Believe the same thing regarding me. Is God holy? That's me. Is God gracious? That's me. Is God all powerful? That's me. Is God all wise? That's me. He's God. You believe God? Believe also in me. Not only is he God, he is the man, Christ Jesus, bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man. The man, Christ Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was and is the sole representative of the being and the character of the one who sent him. He is the only begotten Son. This is the unoriginated relationship. He is eternally and necessarily the Son, the person who possesses every attribute of Godhood. There is a real man in glory right now who is God. The Lord Jesus Christ. And to not love him is the most malicious, the most unconscionable of all sins, the flames of hell. And I hope I'm saying this with the right spirit. The flames of hell cannot be heated hot enough for that man or woman who has no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think for a few moments of the attributes that the Scripture reveals concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many things we could say and think about. I like to think about his omnipresence. I don't understand how this could be, but he was looking at Nicodemus. And he was talking to Nicodemus, and he was speaking of himself. And he said, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, while he was speaking to Nicodemus, he speaks of himself as the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And while he's in heaven, he's still Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I love to think of his omniscience. You know, he never learned anything. He's never been informed. He is all wise. His name is Wisdom. I love to think of his omnipotence. I love the way he said, all power is given to me. You think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's three things. There's probably more, but this is what comes to my mind. There's three things that only God can do. Only God can bring matter into existence. Only God can create. Secondly, only God can make something to not be that was. You know, they say it's impossible for matter to lose existence. It may change form. You know, wood catch on fire, the energy goes up, ashes are still there. I mean, it's always swirling around the universe. Matter, they say, it's impossible to get it out of existence, but only God can make something to not be that was. And only God can make something to be what it was not. Jesus Christ brought matter into existence. He brought bread into existence that was not there before. You see, he'd done something like this before. It's called creation. It was he who created the world. The Lord Jesus Christ makes something not to be that was. You know what that is? The sins of everybody he died for. They're gone. They're not there. They're not simply covered. They're put away. They're not there. Isn't that wonderful? And he makes something to be what it was not. Remember when he changed that water into wine? It was water. And he made it wine. He made it to be what it was not. He makes me to be what I was not. I was not holy. I was not righteous. I am now by what he's done for me. What he's done to me. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to think of his holiness. He never sinned. Now, I can't imagine that, can you? Sin never passed through his mind. He kept God's law perfectly. I love to think about his justice. He would rather go to the cross and suffer his father's wrath than let one sin go unpunished and not love him? I love to think about his faithfulness. He is the faithful and true witness. He can always be believed. He can always be trusted completely. He's always faithful to do what he said he would do. You know, everything he did was faithful. It was an answer to what the Father determined for him to do. Everything he did was in faithfulness to his covenant engagements. Oh, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the scripture I love to think most about his faithfulness. I love that passage of scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul says, if we believe not, he abideth what? Faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now here's what is so glorious. I'm united to him. Every believer is united to him, one with the Lord Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. For him to deny me, even if I hold on, if we believe not. What all does that mean? I don't know, but I do. I experience it. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You see, I'm himself. For him to deny me would be for him to deny himself. Oh, he can't do that. He's faithful. He's the faithful God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not love him? This one who has such power. Oh, we think of the power and the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not describing his greatness sufficiently. You know that. I know that. But oh, what power he has. Yet, he is meek and lowly in heart. You heard that statement? Power corrupts. Well, regarding every son of man, Adam, that's true. The more power you have, the more corrupt you'll be, and the more corrupt I'll be. But not him. He who has all power is meek and approachable and gentle and kind. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden under a burden of sin, is what he's talking about. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And not love him? Think of his obedience to his father. The scripture says he became obedient unto death. His father told him to go and be nailed to the cross, and he said, yes, Father. It was the ultimate act of obedience. Oh, his courage. You think of his entire life. He knew that was waiting on him. That's why he's called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew the grief that he was going to experience all that time. What courage, and yet what approachableness. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'll tell you what. Now let me be honest with you. If I knew what was going on in your heart, I'd look down my nose at you. I guarantee you I would. Because I'm such a self-righteous idiot, just like you are. And you'd do the same. And the fact of the matter is, there's only one person in all the world that somebody can come into their presence and not be judged and not be condemned. Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus Christ, sinners could come into His presence and they weren't condemned. They didn't. You know, you're around somebody, you feel like you're under their microscope and they're looking you over and they're thinking, oh, that's so offensive. But He's so approachable. So approachable, meek and lowly in heart, delighting in salvation, and not love Him? What about the way He forgives? As they drove the nails through His hands and His feet, you know what He said while that was going on? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I want you to think of the manner of His forgiveness. Oh, I'll forgive you. You sin against me, I'll forgive you. But it's going to be in the back of my mind somewhere. I'm watching out for you. I shouldn't be that way. That's hypocrisy for me to be that way. But that's the way human beings are. But what does He say regarding His forgiveness? Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know why? Because, bless God, there's nothing there to remember. Not a thing. Now that's how He forgives. He doesn't forgive you, but watch out for the next time. No. A complete embrace of full and free forgiveness. And not love Him? What about His willingness to save? He said, Him that cometh to me, I will what? In no wise. For no reason whatsoever. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're guilty of. Him that cometh to me is an empty-handed sinner needing mercy. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out. And not love Him. What about His compassion? That leper comes to Him and falls on his face and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the scripture says, Jesus, moved with compassion, reached forth His hand and touched him. Nobody else would, but He did. He touched him, saying, oh, listen to these words, I will be thou clean. And if He says, be thou clean, you know what you are? Clean. Plumb clean. No filthiness there. Perfect in Christ. And not love Him? You think of His love. His love to His Father. Who can describe that? His love to His people. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them to the end. And not love Him? Is Jesus Christ the Lord altogether lovely? That's the testimony of every one of His people. Yea, He is altogether lovely. What's not to love? What's not to cause us all in spirit to bow down at His feet right now in worship and adoration? He is altogether lovely. And what about that one who does not love Him who is altogether lovely? Was Paul using too strong a language when he said, if any man, I don't care who it is, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Now I know I'm saying the same thing from a slightly different angle, but what about his salvation? You know, you can't separate him and his salvation. You can't talk about the Savior without talking about his salvation. It's impossible. What about his salvation? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying. You can rely on this. And it's worthy of all acceptation. Everybody in this room and everybody outside of this room ought to embrace this as the best news they've ever heard. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Who? Let's say it out loud. Who? Sinners. No adjective to describe them. You can put yourself in that group. Didn't say sorry sinners. Sinners are sorry, but it didn't say sorry sinners. Didn't say repentant sinners. Didn't say sensible sinners. Yeah, I always thought that. I thought sinners were stupid. You know, sensible. Says he just came to save sinners. That's me. Did he do it? Did he do it? When he bowed his mighty head and said, it is finished, everybody he came to save, they were saved. And not love him. Turn with me for a moment. A couple of scriptures I want us to look at. Would you turn with me to John 21? Verse 15 of John chapter 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I can't help but wonder if the disciples were listening and maybe nudged one another and said, what do you reckon he's going to say? Remember what he did? What's he going to say? Maybe they weren't doing that, but I can't help but think one or two of them would, because that's probably what I'd be doing. That's what I'd be doing. What's he going to say? After what he's done, what's he going to say? Seems like he'd just keep his mouth shut, doesn't it? But what does he say? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love your person, you know. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Todd, son of Charles, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest. You see me all the way through. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. I appeal to your omniscience. You know exactly what's in my heart, and you know that I love, that I adore, that I worship your person. Now I recognize that the love I have to him is because he first loved me. We say that, don't we? We love him because he first loved us. God forbid that I would trace my love to anything in me. The love that I have to him is the gift of his grace. And that doesn't take away from this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, If after hearing who he is, as he's revealed in his word, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. You know, I like the way Paul ended Ephesians chapter 6. I think it's verse 24. It's the last verse, one of the last verses of Ephesians. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You know what that sincerity is? You'll find this interesting. The word is literally uncorruptness. It's the love of the new heart. The same word is translated in 1 Peter 3, 4, not corruptible. Even the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Even the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, this love is not natural. It comes from the new heart. But we do love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close with this. Would you turn to Luke chapter 7? Here's the key. Here's the key. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, separated ones, they believed something that they had done separated them from other men, made them different. This is the same ones who said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went in unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now, she wasn't a hypothetical sinner. She wasn't a theoretical sinner. She was a real sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of man, woman this that toucheth him. For she's a sinner. And Jesus answering, you see, he read his thoughts. He's reading your thoughts right now and mine. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly, freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? You know, she never said a word. But oh, how powerful her actions are. He said, I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? God. That's who it is. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now that one who has been forgiven much. Now I'm not asking you how drastic your sins are. You know, some people when they give their testimonies, religious people, they try to outdo each other who had the most wicked sins and the most glorious. I'm not talking about that. But when I'm talking about being forgiven much, that means that every breath I've taken is a sin. And I've been forgiven much. He that's been forgiven much. Here's the key. He that's been forgiven much loveth much. Amen.